It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
What a difference a few weeks make.
It's a strategic interest of ours that we have a successful united Europe.
That was President Obama standing alongside Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi at the White House just 6 weeks ago.
I think Matteo embodies a new generation of leadership, not just for Italy, but also for Europe.
But Renzi is stepping down amid the defeat of a referendum on a constitutional change that he supported. The 41-year-old's pending departure, reflective of a growing mood of distrust by the people, of those in power, particularly in the West. Indeed, Renzi's resignation is just the latest wave in a tsunami of political change washing over Europe, one that's already seen the leaders of France and Great Britain ushered from power, the latter already out following the Brexit vote separating the UK from the rest of the European Union. Couple that with President-elect Trump's victory in November, and there's a sense among many that there's a broader populist trend at work, illuminating growing concerns over immigration, globalism, and the economy. But White House officials today were hesitant to draw any conclusions.
There certainly is a not entirely unreasonable tendency to want to loop together the outcome in the UK and even the outcome of the U.S. presidential election with this outcome. But each of these is different.
Different as in the outcome of the recent vote in Austria, for example, where the far-right candidate was soundly defeated in his election. But experts believe to underestimate what's happening across Europe would be folly.
It certainly was a vote against the establishment, and that's a little bit of what you've seen from Trump, I think, carrying on over into Europe.
A carryover with major political implications both here and abroad.
Especially, Brett, when you consider that of the major Western leaders to begin 2016, only Germany's Angela Merkel remains in power and will run for re-election in 2017. As for Italy's Renzi, he'll stay on the job through the 2017 budget process, that at the request of his country's president.
All right, Sandy Rios with you in the morning on AFR Talk, and that's Kevin Cork from Fox News last night. You might wonder what that has to do with us, but actually it has a lot to do with us. And in terms of what's happened in each of those countries, it is not 100% a removal of the leftist leaders, not yet, but there certainly is a trend. And tied into that, of course, is the out-of-control immigration. I just watched yesterday, I saw on Geert Wilders, he's the Dutch leader who is opposed to out of control Islamic immigration, and he's had death threats. He is in constant danger. But I was just looking at a video he posted of a place where Muslim refugees are being held, and how they were just a video that went on for like probably 2 minutes, just completely destroying the place. It was an unbelievable moment, and of course, people in Europe are seeing the destruction of out-of-control immigration, and they're beginning to question their leaders. Well, duh, I'm surprised Angela Merkel is still in power. There's even more to this, though. There is an international Marxist movement, socialist Marxist movement, and they have gained power that is just unbelievable. And I don't know if it's too late. I would say here in the United States, we have put the brakes on it, and we're not as far along as Europe. But Europe, I don't know if they can ever get back their personal national identities. I don't know if they can ever undo or unring the bell that was rung by the globalists who believe in no borders, no national identity, no language, no history of your nation, and because they want central control over everything. So I'm going to give you an example of that today. In fact, I'm going to talk about this a lot, but let me, before I move on, tell you that John Bolton, Ambassador John Bolton, will be joining us at the beginning of next week, assuming he doesn't get appointed Secretary of State, which I actually hope he does, to talk about the details of what's happening in each of these countries. So we'll get into that. Today I want to talk more about the general thing that's coming out of these countries. I want to give you an example of what's happening in the EU and why this globalist movement and this Marxist central control movement threatens to control us. A little bit of it can be captured in the fight we put up against giving up control of the internet. Remember we talked about that, about what that might mean in terms of the freedom of expression, our First Amendment rights on the various, whether it's Facebook or Google or, you know, whatever the outlet, whatever you use, in the West, we have just grown accustomed to freedom of our expressions, maybe to our detriment, because we've had maybe a little too freedom in our expressions sometimes without responsibility. Nevertheless, that's part of our DNA. Not so in Europe. And so here, I want to read this to you because this is a big deal. The European Commission has slammed tech titans Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Microsoft, saying that they are not moving quickly enough to deal with online hate speech. In late May, Silicon Valley giants agreed in a code of conduct to keep tackling illegal hate speech on their platforms. As part of that code of conduct, a goal was set of reviewing most notifications of illegal hate speech and dealing with them within 24 hours. According to a new report set to be presented and discussed in Europe on Wednesday and Thursday, tech companies are only meeting that 24-hour goal 40% of the time. In Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Microsoft want to convince me and the ministers that the non-legislative approach can work, they will have to act quickly and make a strong effort in the coming months, Vera Jourova, a commissioner in charge of justice, consumers, and gender equality for the European Commission said, according to the Financial Times. And what is the center of the kind of speech they're concerned about? Anti-Semitism, national origin, and hatred toward Muslims. Those are the three biggest categories. Now, I want to give you an example of what's actually happening. On YouTube, just within the last few days, I'm going to just skip ahead here, Jeff, to cut three. Kasim Hafiz, who was born in Pakistan, gives a testimony of his own feelings toward Jews on Prager University. And I want you to hear this. We're going to play cut three. I just want you to hear the first part of it. It was removed from YouTube almost immediately. Let's listen to Kasim Hafiz.
I was born to hate Jews. It was part of my life. I never questioned it. I was not born in Iran or Syria. I was born in England. My parents moved there from Pakistan. Theirs was the typical immigrant story. Moved to the West in the hope of making a better life for themselves and their children. We were a devout Muslim family, but not extremist or radical in any way. We only wished the best for everyone. Everyone except the Jews. The Jews we believed were aliens living in stolen Muslim land, occupiers who were engaged in a genocide against the Palestinian people. Our hatred, therefore, was justified and righteous, and it made me and my friends vulnerable to the arguments of radical extremists. If the Jews were as evil as we had always believed, mustn't those who support them, Christians, Americans, and others in the West, be just as evil? Beginning in the 1990s, speakers and teachers at mosques and in schools began to endlessly repeat this theme. We were not Western. We were not British. We were Muslims, first and only. Our loyalty was to our religion and to our fellow Muslims. We owed nothing to the Western nations that welcomed us. As Westerners, they were our enemies. All of this had its desired effect. At least, it did on me. It changed the way that I saw the world. I began to see the suffering of Muslims, including in Britain, as the fault of Western imperialism. The West was at war with us, and the Jews controlled the West. My experience at university in Britain only enhanced my increasingly radical beliefs. Hating Israel was a badge of honor. Stage an anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian rally, and you are sure to draw a large, approving crowd. While at university, I decided the protests and propaganda against Israel were not enough. True jihad demanded violence. So I made plans to join the real fight. I would leave college and join a terrorist training camp in Pakistan.
That was Kasim Hafiz, courtesy of Prager University. That's the first part of it. He goes on to talk about how he ended up going to Israel just to see. He wanted to see for himself how hateful and horrible the Jews were, and he saw people living together in peace. It's pretty incredible. And actually, we're going to post this on our Facebook page while we still can. But it's been taken off YouTube because it's so offensive. Removed immediately from YouTube. However, I noticed that Jenna Lee and Judge Andrew Napolitano were talking about this whole business of YouTube and all the media outlets, Google, removing, you know, offensive content per, you know, the request demand, really, of the European Commission. And this little phrase stuck out to me. It's Jenna Lee and Judge Andrew Napolitano. Let's listen. Cut five.
You know, last week at this time, we had the Ohio State University attack. You had the one-year anniversary of the San Bernardino terrorist attack. You have the alleged terrorist in New York planting bombs on the street in the Chelsea district here, also potentially a reference to Anwar Abdullahi. So we were curious. We were Googling Anwar Abdullahi, and there he is all over YouTube.
There he is, just as if we were live. He is almost from the grave. A common thread as having inspired all these people who you just talked about. So the short answer is, his videos are still out there because, like flag burning, they are protected speech. Even though they are hateful, even though they advocate violence, even though they are profoundly un-American, they are protected speech. Protected from the government. No one can be prosecuted for playing them or listening to them. But not protected from YouTube, which is not the government. So the First Amendment says the government shall not interfere with free speech, but YouTube could take them down in a flash just because it doesn't want this stuff being propagated on its platform.
Yeah, but the point is, they haven't. Anwar Abdullahi, who has been recruiting, he did before he was targeted by the drone strike by President Obama, targeting homegrown extremists. Home, that's what they say. I don't even like to say that. People in the U.S. who are dedicated to Islam and want to do violence. He's the one who stirred up so many in the West. And those YouTube videos are still on YouTube. And yet they took down Kasim Hafiz talking about growing up Muslim, being radicalized, and then exploring and then finding for himself that the Jews are not such a hateful people, and the people can actually live in peace. That's really the bottom line of his video. But it's been taken down instantly by YouTube. So you ask me, how did the web giants like Twitter, YouTube, Microsoft, Facebook respond to this agreed-upon code of conduct and this challenge by Vera Jourova, commissioner in charge of justice, consumers, and gender equality for the European Commission? How did they respond? Well, here's the article this morning from Yahoo News by Reuters. Web giants YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Microsoft will step up efforts to remove extremist content from their websites by creating a common database. I think you heard this at the news, top of the AFR news just a few minutes ago. But this, ladies and gentlemen, this is a new era. It's a new battle. It's not new, but it's been in the works for a long time. But it'll come to your knowledge. It will come to your attention now that YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, Microsoft have agreed to share their information and join together in banning these objectionable pieces of information. What else do you think they might find objectionable? Just wondering, what else would the European Union object to? Any ideas? Well, think about that a little bit, but it's bad enough that it has to do with censoring anything that criticizes Islam. And if you don't think, just stay tuned, because there's more to say about that. This is really the theme this morning, this whole control of the news, and I'll come back to it in just a second. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. and he goes to the doctor. True story. He goes to the doctor and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
See if you agree with this definition of parents. Parents are people who have pictures in their wallets where their money used to be. Not only is that a cute definition, it also identifies a key ingredient of good parenting: sacrifice. Someone once said that it doesn't matter if you have one child or 10, children take all you have. But oh, the returns. In spite of the hard times, I've never met a parent who would rather have a wallet full of money instead of a wallet full of pictures. Because God Himself is a father, parents are close to His heart. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God the Father on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. That's Route66Life.com. Route 66, start your journey home today.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. It was Chicken Nugget Day at Tennessee's Farragut High School, so Eagle Scout Carson Collar helped himself to 6 nuggets in the lunch line. After he swiped his payment card, the lunch lady accused Carson of stealing an extra nugget. Now, his account clearly showed he had paid for that extra nugget, but it did not matter. Carson was suspended for theft of property. His mother was so upset, she posted a message about the incident on Facebook, along with screenshots showing he had paid for that extra nugget. The following day, the principal apologized and expunged Carson's record, ending the great chicken nugget caper of 2016. It's just too bad the school overreacted in the first place and falsely accused a good teenager of wrongdoing. So to help make things right, I reached out to the local Chick-fil-A, and we arranged to get Carson a gift card, so now he can eat as many chicken nuggets as his heart desires. I'm Todd Starnes.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the morning.
Immediately after taking office, I will ask my generals to present to me a plan within 30 days to defeat and destroy ISIS.
All right, that was Donald Trump. Somewhere on the campaign trail, he made it clear he was planning to defeat ISIS. Here's yet one more clip from Donald Trump.
ISIS will be gone if I'm elected president, and they'll be gone quickly. They will be gone very, very quickly. However, unlike other candidates for the presidency, war and aggression will not be my first instinct. You cannot have a foreign policy without diplomacy. A superpower understands that caution and restraint are really, truly signs of strength.
All right, so that, Donald Trump said that on the stump over and over again. And as a result of that, on January the 20th, on Inauguration Day, now that he will become the President of the United States and be sworn in, ISIS has declared war on his inauguration day and are calling it Bloody Friday. U.S. Special Forces will begin on high alert when Mr. Trump takes over as 45th President of the United States on Friday, January 20th, 2017. They've been communicating messages, trying to recruit people to do large-scale attacks around the world and in the United States on that day. So here we go. And, of course, he has already appointed, Donald Trump has already appointed generals who are hardliners on Islam. And so we have no idea what's going to be coming, but we know at least we're going to be fighting back, and that's what the Islamists desperately need. I often think, you know, that they really are just cowards. If you show them strength, they back down. But when you show them no strength, you give no leadership, you let them do whatever they want, like all bullies, I'll use that word, then they do their dirty work. But I think it doesn't take much really to intimidate them. So let's just see if they actually do try to do something on January 20th, knowing that there is a president waiting in the wings who's coming after them. I would be surprised, honestly. So we'll see. We'll see. Now, I was talking about, before the break, I was talking about this international movement to control speech. I talked to you about the European Commission on what they have a speech code. And now Twitter and Facebook and all of these social media outlets have agreed. They've agreed. It's okay. We're going to start, you know, censoring speech. And you can expect that things that you're posting are probably going to not find their place. This is a little bit different, but Amazon has yanked doormats with Allah on them, just the Arabic characters for Allah, because they had so many complaints from Muslims saying it's offensive. This is a new world. It's where, remember that Barack Obama told the UN and told the world that the future did not belong to those that criticize the prophet. Well, even as we've had a bit of a sea change in our elections here in the United States, it hasn't happened worldwide, and the leftist, socialist, Marxist international movement continues its march. So we'll see how that ends up. Last night, David Lee Miller talked about the response of Israel to the election of Donald Trump. It's an interesting report, but there's something in the report I want to address. Let's first listen to the whole report.
After 8 years of a relationship that at times was strained with the Obama administration, some Israelis believe things will improve when Donald Trump moves into the White House. There is cautious optimism among Israelis regarding Trump's foreign policy.
I think most officials in Israel right now are breathing a sigh of relief that we have less than 50 days of the Obama administration left.
Boosting confidence in Trump, his criticism of the Iran deal. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said he will raise the subject.
As far as President-elect Trump, I look forward to speaking with him about what to do about this bad deal.
Another welcome sign, Trump's call to relocate the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to the disputed capital, Jerusalem. Trump's election of South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley as U.N. ambassador is also seen as a positive development for Israel. Haley opposes economic boycotts against the Jewish state. Journalist Ari Kahana sees a Trump administration as a chance to improve overall U.S. relations.
Israel has a strategic opportunity to use this new administration, new president with so positive attitude towards Israel.
Despite Israeli optimism, there are some worries. His selection of Steve Bannon as senior advisor raised the ire of some groups because of Bannon's association with Breitbart.com, a website the Anti-Defamation League described as the, quote, leading source for the extreme views of a vocal minority who peddle bigotry and promote hate. The ADL also said, quote, we are not aware of any anti-Semitic statements by Bannon himself. Trump's pick for defense secretary, retired General James Mattis, has warned that Israel's settlement policy is an obstacle to peace. Some Israelis are also concerned about Trump's unconventional style.
This person has proved himself to be really unpredictable. I've never seen any leader like that.
All right, so that was William Longinus, and of course, most of that report, from my perspective, is all good news. I'm happy. I'm really happy that we have a president-elect who respects Israel and wants to work with Israel, and to do away with the Iranian agreement, that disastrous, dangerous, ridiculous, feckless, willfully dangerous to our country agreement that the president entered into with the help of people like Senator Bob Corker. It's just amazing. And the weak Senate, I blame Mitch McConnell for much of that. They didn't have to do that. And yet they did. And so they put us at danger. So I'm happy that that may be challenged. I'm happy it may be gutted. I'm happy that maybe they might stop at least most of it. But the part that I don't get, that doesn't make any sense to me, that David Lee Miller would even drop this in, is the part about Steve Bannon and Breitbart. I want you to listen to it again. I've asked Adam to isolate it, and then I'm going to address it. Let's listen to what David Lee Miller said about Steve Bannon, who is now the senior advisor to Donald Trump and Breitbart. Let's listen.
Despite Israeli optimism, there are some worries. His selection of Steve Bannon as senior advisor raised the ire of some groups because of Bannon's association with Breitbart.com, a website the Anti-Defamation League described as the, quote, leading source for the extreme views of a vocal minority who peddle bigotry and promote hate. The ADL also said, quote, we are not aware of any anti-Semitic statements by Bannon himself.
All right, so that, ladies and gentlemen, makes no sense. Let me just, I've said this before, but I'm going to repeat it as many times as I have to. Breitbart News was founded by Andrew Breitbart, who, guess what, was Jewish. I knew Andrew well. He was Jewish, for heaven's sake. The CEO of Breitbart, Larry Solov, is Jewish. The West Coast editor, Joel Pollack, is an Orthodox Jew, wears the cap. He's a good friend of mine as well. Steve Bannon is known as a supporter of Israel. Many Jewish leaders on the left have joined in trying to accuse Steve Bannon of being anti-Semitic. And there is just no there. It's a totally false, fabricated lie. You notice that David Lee, in his report, said, even though the ADL said they don't have a report of Steve Bannon saying anything anti-Semitic himself, so why is that even in there? I'll tell you why it's there. Because Breitbart is a powerful news source, 45 million readers every week. Breitbart is one of the red meat conservative outlets, and it's certainly one of the big reasons why Donald Trump was elected. There's no question about that, and that is one of the reasons they're being the target of so much hatred. And Steve Bannon was their chief executive. He's moved aside now to go work with the Trump administration, but it was under Steve's leadership that Breitbart has fought so many fights, has broached topics that no one else would touch, including supporting AFA and our boycott of Target for allowing men to go in women's restrooms and dressing areas. So Breitbart, yes, Breitbart is not a Christian outlet. They write some pro-gay things. They have a pro-gay writer, but they also have pro-family writers. And they write things that no one else will print. But it is not fake news. It is a powerful outlet, but there was a reason why they're being targeted. And as I told you, Kellogg's has targeted Breitbart and is with pulling out their advertising. And so as a result of that, Breitbart, oh, by the way, I should tell you what Kellogg's is saying. We regularly work with our media buying partners to ensure our ads do not appear on sites that aren't aligned with our values as a company. We recently reviewed the list of sites where our ads can be placed and decided to discontinue advertising on Breitbart.com. We are working to remove ads from that site. Now, of course, they didn't point out anything in particular, just in general. So 45 million monthly readers to Breitbart somehow don't align with their values? Really? Of the 45 million, you think they all don't? It's really amazing. In fact, let me read. By the way, Kellogg's makes Pringles, Eggo waffles, Special K frosted flakes. There's a long list here. Raisin Bran, lots of things I'm sure that you use. I personally am. The reason we need to support Breitbart, from my perspective, is that there is no way we can allow the leftist leaders, CEOs of these companies to control what we do and to put out of business media outlets that we rely on for news. If they do that, and if all of these, if Google and Facebook and all the other social media outlets start to censor the things that we are writing and saying, which is where this is headed, that it will be an outrage. So we have to start now. And there are millions of us, millions of AFA listeners, millions of conservatives who listen, read Breitbart, who support AFA, who are not down with this. And I'm suggesting, if you're one of those, Pop-Tarts, Rice Krispies, Eggos, Famous Amos Cookies, Keebler, lots of stuff. But you know what? there are lots of generics and there are lots of other products. Your grocery stores have things to offer that are just as good now as the brand name labels. And so I'm all in on this. Dump Kellogg's on behalf of Breitbart, but not just behalf of Breitbart, on behalf of freedom of speech in this country. And on behalf of us having an outlet, it doesn't have to be just Breitbart. Trust me, they're going to be targeting all the, they have been for a long time trying to target AFA and our outlets. So I'm fighting back, and I'm asking you to join with me to do that. Now, I want to also add that there is, of course, this all-out war by the left and by the left's media outlets to destroy conservative news because they know what an impact it has had on American voters, that American voters are not listening to them anymore. So their plan is to black out any outlets of conservative thought and ideas. This is the end game, so that only they can be heard. So then you really won't know. Can you imagine if you woke up tomorrow and there was no AFR news, AFR talk, if there was no Rush Limbaugh, no Sean Hannity, no Fox, no Breitbart, no, you fill in the blanks. I could fill in a lot more blanks. No Laura Ingraham. What if those voices were suddenly silenced? And all you had was the Washington Post and CNN and ABC and CBS. And this is where we were in the 70s, by the way. And that's why many people had their minds and their heads turned about Vietnam, about nuclear disarmament, all kinds of things, about abortion. They had control of our minds because they had control of the source of information. So we have to fight this. And I want to read to you, this is an article from the Daily Caller. One of the websites, by the way, Washington Post did a whole piece on fake news and listed all these outlets. It was in November. So one of the websites the Washington Post labeled as fake news in a November story demanded a retraction and threatened the paper with a defamation lawsuit in a demand letter on Sunday. A lawyer for Naked Capitalism accuses Washington Post of running a debunked list of fake news sites and the sensational story compiled by a dubious team of researchers without substantiating their claims or giving Naked Capitalism a chance to respond to the allegation. The Washington Post's actions constitute defamation, the lawyer writes in the letter published Monday. You did not provide even a single example of fake news allegedly distributed or promoted by Naked Capitalism, or indeed any of the 200 sites, James Moody writes. You provided no discussion or assessment of the credentials or backgrounds of these so-called researchers, and he names them, on the team that is supposedly researching and finding out which are the fake news sites. No discussion of the analysis of the methodology, protocol, or algorithms such researchers may or may not have followed. Naked Capitalism, by the way, is a finance and economics blog started in December 2006 with the stated goal of shedding light on the dark and seamy corners of finance. Moody demands a retraction of the story and a public apology from Washington Post in the letter, threatening a suit if the paper does not comply. He lists a series of damages to the site itself, as well as the writers and editors associated with the site. These include ridicule, emotional distress, loss of reputation, and risk to future career advancement for writers and editors. Let me just pause and say, listen, this has happened before. I know first-class, quality, award-winning writers who cannot find jobs because they have been associated with writing against gay marriage and for traditional marriage. They can't find jobs anywhere if they use their real names. So this is a real problem if the Washington Post and other outlets start targeting organizations like Breitbart, conservative writers, and labeling it fake news. And so Naked Capitalism, God bless them, is going to be suing for defamation, the Washington Post, if they don't come forward. And by the way, Adrian Chen in The New Yorker said the organization's anonymity, which is the one deciding who the fake news is, he says the report was a mess. He says you have made damaging false accusations. And so Rolling Stone has even weighed in on this arbitrary decision about who's fake news and who isn't. And I have more to say about this. I told you this is going to be the theme today because I want you to be aware of what they're attempting so that you can just know about this, because at some point Congress is probably going to have to step in and the administration, and we just all need to be aware of this. We would be lost without news sources that told us the truth, wouldn't we? This is Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
Thank you. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Many breathed a sigh of relief when Hillary Clinton lost the presidential election. Christians were rightfully concerned about losing their freedom of religious expression had she been the winner. We've received a divine reprieve for which we are truly grateful. What will we do with this period of grace? We mustn't sit back in apathy and laziness. Instead, we must actively share the gospel message and join others in prayer for our nation that God might grant unto us a repentant heart. Pray for the salvation of President Obama and for President-elect Trump. Bombard the throne room of heaven with prayer that God's Spirit will guide our next president in appointments and policies that will glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. Apathy and laziness, or humility and prayerfulness. God help us, each one of us. This is a Decency Minute, an outreach broadcast of the American Decency Association based in Fremont, Michigan. I'm Bill Johnson.
The political and cultural landscape of our nation will continue to undergo major changes with the shift in power in our nation's capital. All the issues we care about, religious liberty, the sanctity of life and marriage, national security, immigration, and the economy, will be up for debate. Focal Point will help you process it all from a biblical perspective, live every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 Central on American Family Radio. I'm your congenial, convivial, and amiable host, Brian Fisher, and I approve this message.
Hello, American Family Radio. Todd Starnes here. And you know, there's no place like the Mid-South when it comes to Christmas. That's why I'm filming my big Fox Christmas show at Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, a two-hour extravaganza featuring Grammy winner Jason Crabb and worship artist Meredith Andrews and my Uncle Don from Arkansas. December 6th, doors open at 6:30. Admission is free. Folks, it's going to be a great night of family fun as we celebrate the reason for the season. For more information, visit toddstarnes.com.
Oops, there's a piece I missed a little bit.
Grandpa, why do we always pick up litter when we go hiking?
Well, we're just making it nicer for people who come after us a little bit. It's called stewardship.
My grandfather taught me that you should always leave a place better than you found it. That it's important to invest in the lives of your children and grandchildren, leaving them with a godly legacy they can build on. That's why I decided to set up a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
It's called stewardship.
I know that my gift will support a ministry that honors the biblical principles I hold dear, and it's a way to invest in the future of our country. The AFA Foundation also arranged for me to have a steady fixed income, so I don't have to worry in the midst of changing times.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Another inspired Trump cabinet pick is Dr. Ben Carson to serve as the Secretary of the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Critics seek to derail his nomination, though making false claims about the former pediatric neurosurgeon. Some complain he lacks experience with the HUD portfolio. Actually, as a child raised amid abject ghetto poverty, Dr. Carson is intimately familiar with the problems roiling urban centers and their housing projects. He is, moreover, smart enough to master quickly what he doesn't know and to enlist expert help as needed. Worse yet, a purported civil rights organization, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, asserts that Dr. Carson is disqualified because he's hostile to Muslims. That's not true either. Just a slander engineered by a proven front for a designated terrorist group, Hamas. This is Frank Affney. Learn how we know CARE is Hamas at securefreedom.org.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning. Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio. Everybody.
Exalted, 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 exalted. Shall be exalted.
Here we go.
All right.
right. That's it's Christmas time, and that's my favorite music from the Soulful Celebration of the Messiah. I love that rendition of the Messiah. Yes, I love the traditional. I listen to it all the time. I love my favorite is a British version, but I love the Soulful Celebration. So you're going to be hearing that a lot this Christmas, and it kind of gets us in the Christmas mood. Can you believe it's December? I can't hardly believe that, and yet it is. All right, so back to the news, because something really strange happened in D.C. just a few days ago. I didn't mention it, but now I need to, because we're talking about fake news. We're talking about all that CNN and others, the Washington Post, are making of this. Now, they've coined the term alt-right, and now we have fake news. And could I say, of course we know there's fake news. The internet is filled with fake news and rumors and conspiracy theories. But somehow in the mix, it seems to me we've come to a place where people kind of understand that and things kind of shake out in the long run. However, not so much for CNN. And this is the report of this very strange thing that happened in Washington a few days ago. Let's listen.
File this under what happens when fake news stories use the names of real people and places, but not real facts. Authorities say a guy named Edgar Madison Welch of Salisbury, North Carolina, walked into this pizza restaurant in Upper Northwest Washington over the weekend. It's been here for years. He had a rifle in his hand, apparently fired at least one shot. No one was injured. People apparently scattered when they saw the guy with the gun. Authorities, when they sat down and interviewed Welch, say he admitted to them he was here to self-investigate the now notorious internet conspiracy theory known as Pizzagate, which alleges in part that the restaurant, along with Hillary Clinton and her campaign manager, John Podesta, were somehow involved in a child sex ring. All false. Now, Welch was charged with assault with a deadly weapon. No one was injured. And the owner put out a statement essentially saying this shows the consequences of what happens when people use lies on the internet.
Yeah, so, well, yes, I guess on its face you would think so, right? You'd think that, well, this is terrible. There were these lies about what's called Pizzagate, and we'll get into that in just a second. And as a result, this man was all stirred up. And he took two guns into this pizza place in Northwest Washington, and he fired a shot. And because he read this online, and he was all upset. And see, this is what happens when fake news is circulated. Except when you look at it and you see the story, it just gets really strange. Like the shot that he fired into the floor after everyone had left the restaurant. And then you look into his background, Edgar Madison Welch, he is an actor. Oh, he has other things about him, too. His father was a movie producer, and he's produced two movies himself and acted in one movie. And then you go, So he marches in, and he claims he's there to find children who are being trafficked because he read this news story online. And in the story that I'm reading out of Heavy, which is a news, I don't know if it's fake news or not. You know, how would we know? And we need to look in the Washington Post, because obviously we cannot decide for ourselves, because it could be Breitbart, but it could be Heat. I'm not sure. You just can't trust it, and we have to see what Washington Post thinks. I don't know if Heat is on their list or not, but in Heat's story about it, I think probably not. The Heat's story about this, Brian Fallon, who just happens to be, was the press secretary for the Clinton campaign, just happened to be, tweeted this. Maybe Trump could tweet a condemnation of the fake news that inspired a lunatic to terrorize Comet Ping Pong, that's the name of the pizza place, Comet Ping Pong, instead of obsessing over Saturday Night Live. So Brian Fallon, the press secretary of the Clinton campaign. Now, here's where it gets complicated. I don't profess to be an expert on Pizzagate, but my understanding is whether the story is true, I don't even know what's circulating on the web about it, but it all goes back to the information that I mentioned to you that the New York City police and the FBI uncovered in New York City about a huge child trafficking porn ring, about trips of Mrs. Clinton to that pedophile island. Three or four different times on that plane, about allegations of John Podesta being involved. And remember, that's gone quiet. It's gone very quiet. But it's related to that. This Pizzagate story is related to that. And somehow, I don't know how, it sounds bizarre, so maybe it is bizarre. I don't know if this is, you know, I have no idea. I would imagine, if you had to push me to the wall and ask me what I think, that there is definitely truth in what the New York City police found and the FBI agents uncovered. It was just too gut-wrenching at the time we reported it, and everything went silent. And that's why my understanding is why FBI agents in New York were so insistent on going around the efforts by Loretta Lynch to stop their investigation. But it's all gone quiet for now. Michael Flynn, the appointee to be a cabinet member on national security for Donald Trump, tweeted, "Until Pizzagate proven to be false, it remains a story. It will remain a story. The left seems to forget the Podesta emails and the many coincidences tied to it." And then he harkens back to the discoveries that we've just talked about in that New York case. Now, here's CNN reporting this, and here's another headline from them. Son of Trump security advisor. So we have Michael Flynn. He has a son whose name is Michael Flynn, who was also working on the Trump campaign. So here's the headline. Son of Trump security advisor spread baseless Pizzagate conspiracy. The son of Donald Trump's incoming national security advisor continued to push a fictitious online conspiracy theory about a Washington, D.C. pizza restaurant on Sunday as police arrested an armed man who said he had come to investigate. Michael G. Flynn is the son of Chief of Staff and top aide of the father, retired Lieutenant General Mike Flynn, who Trump has named as his national security advisor, a post that does not require Senate confirmation. Later that day, okay, so they then tell the story of this guy, this Edgar Madison Welch, who went into the pizza place from North Carolina, drove up with two guns, shot one in the floor after everybody had left, allegedly there because of a fake news story he read. Very convenient. And he's an actor. So CNN reports, later that day, the younger Flynn tweeted that until the fictitious story was proven untrue, it would continue. So then it goes on to say, Lieutenant General Flynn himself tweeted a link to the story that helped fuel and generate the theories about the Clintons, which again contain no credible evidence, days before the election. According to BuzzFeed, which is an outlet of Newsweek, by the way, very leftist, that discredited the story was part of what spurred the invention of the pizza restaurant theory. And then it says, both the Flynns have been known to spread baseless conspiracy theories in the past. All right, now I want to get into that. So both of the Flynns, General Flynn and his son, have tweeted out baseless conspiracy theories. Well, that goes to this next story. Retired Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, Donald Trump's pick to be national security advisor, has on several occasions peddled conspiracy theories about Islamic Sharia law coming to the United States. Fact-checking websites, including PolitiFact and Snopes, which, by the way, we now know are run by leftists, completely untrustworthy. Maybe they get some things right, but they get a lot of things wrong depending on their political bent. But they have said, PolitiFact and Snopes have labeled claims about Sharia law coming to the U.S. false. In 2015, the Houston Chronicle dubbed rumors about Sharia courts the hoax of the year. So, General Flynn has been warning about Sharia law coming to the United States, but that is fake news and a conspiracy theory. You and I know that is absolutely a lie. I talk about it enough that I don't have time to expand on it in this moment. You know that Sharia law is it's what the Muslim Brotherhood adheres to. It's what the hardline Iranians adhere to. It's all these rules about women. It is the right to murder and kill the infidel. It is a nightmare, really. It is completely incompatible with the Constitution. And you better believe, you bet your bottom dollar, it has come to American soil. But CNN, of course, knows better. It's not true. Nothing to see here. And so from this Pizzagate story, which, again, is a mystery to me, all I can tell you is this guy goes in with these two guns, and it's a fake news story that caused him to do that, says CNN. And they whip it. They whip people into it. See, this is why this fake news is so dangerous. you know, these fake news stories, because they actually cause, you know, potentially cause trouble. But now we know this guy's an actor. We know he shot just the floor. And people are wondering, was this staged? What in the world went on with that? So CNN, though, not to be outdone, goes on with another report I want you to listen to, and where they widen the net about fake news. Let's listen.
Fake news, real gunfire. A North Carolina man arrested in a D.C. pizza shop after brandishing a gun, telling police he was there to investigate a conspiracy theory called Pizzagate.
One of the hosts runs up and is like, did you see that guy? You know, he had a big gun.
We actually thought initially that he was a staff member because he was walking straight for that back room. Staff member, you know, kind of looked at me and indicated that this was a gunman.
Edgar Welch appearing in court this afternoon. According to police, Welch said that he had read online that the Comet Ping Pong restaurant was harboring child sex slaves, and that he wanted to see for himself if they were there.
All right, I'm going to interrupt the report. We could go on and on, because they're going to tell the whole thing I told you. And you see people doing the interview that just don't, seem unserious to me. And police, it's just a very odd story. That's all I can say. But allegedly, it's the result of this fake news. Well, speaking of fake news, if you would like a little exercise and entertainment, go online and Google, while you still can Google and actually find something, fake CNN fake news. I did that because last night Anderson Cooper did an interview, which we tried to find and couldn't find it online, talking about fake news. And it was an amazing discussion. I would give anything if I could have played it for you this morning. But what I found instead was article after article after article reporting how CNN has faked news over the years. It's amazing to me. I'll just give you one story. This is dated December 2013. CNN caught staging news segments on Syria with actors. In what can only be explained as fake news, this is before fake news was being used as like a byword like it is now. Fake news, CNN has resorted to actors to stage news reports on Syria and other topics. The primary witness that the mainstream media is using as a source in Syria has been caught staging fake news segments. Recent video evidence proves that Syria Danny, the supposed activist who's been begging for military intervention on CNN, is really just a paid actor and a liar. The following video shows him contradicting himself while off air, but he's still on camera, and even asking crew members to get the gunfire sounds ready for his video conference with Anderson Cooper on CNN. Syria Danny has also appeared on many other news programs, and every single time his story on specific events has changed. This is a long article, but it's just one. I just challenge you to Google fake news and CNN, and you will be amused. You can watch the videos yourself of Syrian Danny, and you can see what they're talking about. So they ought to know all about fake news because they sort of perfected the method. I told you yesterday, but I will repeat that Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook is working on a plan to start picking news and putting it in each of your feeds so that you can know. I'm sure you can post your own stuff, but they will make sure that you see the stuff that they want you to see from the outlets that they pick. And that's supposedly going to be the real news, not the fake news that you want to post. So you can see the trend. I've spent an entire hour talking about this, but I just want you to be aware. I think it's really important. We need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. All right, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.